25 years of exploring new worlds, new ideas, and new people. Years of entertaining conversation, stimulating information. Join the Celebration 25 with
Bill Jenkins.
Well, welcome in to a Saturday night on KABC. It is Open Mind, we call it, for the next 3 hours, and we want to try to tantalize and stretch yours and give you something new, kind of rumming around in your mind. And we have quite an elaborate experiment planned for you tonight. So I want you to sit back and hold on tight. We'll see if we can pull it off. If we can, you may talk about it for a couple of days. So welcome aboard. We're 8 minutes past the 9 o'clock mark here on a rainy Saturday night in Los Angeles. At the moment, I don't know what's going on in Northern California because the circuits are busy. The operator tells us to reach the laboratory of Dr. Marcel Vogel, who for 27 years was one of the leading theoretical physicists for the IBM Corporation. He is a man who has done an enormous amount of research in the interrelation between plants and animals. His plants talk to him, in fact. He's certainly one of the leading researchers into the amazing and healing properties of the crystal. And we were going to deal, and are will do, deal here a little bit later tonight, when we can get Marcel on with the crystal. If you remember the last time that Marcel was on, using the crystal from his vantage point way up in Northern California, we had people all over Southern California who were literally bending spoons, smelling roses, feeling a rush of air across their extended palm. I didn't bend a spoon, but I don't go out of body. So we have not gained contact with Dr. Vogel. He has our numbers. We have his numbers. There had been an elaborate experiment worked up from up there in the laboratory there to down here at Hidden Valley with Dr. Heidi Rose. We'll get Dr. Rose on a little bit later on. She was going to be hooked up to an EKG machine. So and that's about all I can tell you about what's in store for you. So we'll hope that the circuits get clear. It's always something here. But it's always worth sitting around and waiting on. It gives me a chance to talk to you about our psychic phenomenon tour of London that comes up very quickly, October 24th to November 1st. I think that's still on. If not, we were going to have to postpone it till next spring if we didn't get enough people to go. We need 35 or 40 people to go. Last time I talked to Chucky Travel, we were running just a little bit behind time. We got a little bit late in getting the plans all firmed up for you, but we would like for you to go. It's cost about $1,700, I think. We'll go by British Caledonia Airlines, and that's your total travel. That's your stay at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. Many of your meals will be having banquets in the great banquet halls of some of the great castles of London and environs. We're going to be lectured about all the experiences of paranormal phenomena in human mind, about the hauntings and aberrations. We're going to go to the ghost houses and where they are. Lord Clancarty of the House of Lords will talk to us about the House of Lords investigation into the reality of the UFO. He's quite an amazing fellow. We'll go out to Stonehenge for a day and see that magnificent place, and then on over to Bath, to the Roman baths at Bath. We'll go to Buckingham Palace, Westminster Abbey, the Tower of London. And we'll end up our trip on Halloween night on board the MV Silver Barracuda for a fancy dress Halloween party. Cocktail party and a three-course dinner. Sailing underneath the Tower of London and the London Bridge. Both of those are haunted, you know. There are ghosts there, too, of course. And on Halloween night, I couldn't think of a more Halloweenish place to be than at a dress-up Halloween party on board the Silver Barracuda sailing up and down the Thames. So, if you can go, contact Chucky Travel first thing Monday morning at Travel Consultants of America. They're in Burbank, California. Or call me. I'll take care of it. You can call me here at the station if you want. And the number for Travel Consultants of America is 818-845-1722. He's reduced those prices because he renegotiated a deal with British Caledonia Airlines. We'll leave October 24th and we'll come back on the 1st, 2nd of November. Spend a fantastic week in London and just do open mind things while we're over there and have a lot of open mind fun. Well, Brad is working with the operator to get through. I don't know what's going on up there, but the lines, the circuits are busy. Did it rain or something up there? All right. We'll keep trying. Meanwhile, I'm certainly ready, willing, and able to talk to you. We'll just continue our open forum that we had last week that was so very, very fascinating. If we don't get through to Dr. Marcel Vogel here rather quickly, we will get Dr. Heidi Rose on, who is standing by. She was to be a part of the experiment that we would be doing. Long distance with crystals and mind power and all of that sort of stuff. But you can talk to us about most anything that's on your mind. 520-TALK, if you're in Los Angeles. Go ahead and call on in and talk to us. 520-TALK. Healing, which is becoming more and more the thing and may be exactly the way the world of healing and medicine will become. Next week, we'll have a UFO forum for you. We'll have some of the leading investigators and into this phenomenon of the UFO. We'll have some high government officials on who will talk about openly the government believing and knowing full well that they have an ongoing experience with a UFO. We'll look at some of the Freedom of Information memorandum now that have been that have coming out of the government because of the Freedom of Information Act, which clearly establishes that we know that there is the UFO. It has been a part of a military concern for quite some time. Then on October 19th, we're going to have one of the playoff games, perhaps, of the National League playoffs on a Saturday night with the Cardinals. And if that's the case, we'll have a shortened version of Open Mind. It'll only be 2 hours that night on October 19th, but we will be talking about and we'll have a number of the psychics that are members of the United Sensitives of America who did a lot of work with law enforcement officials during the Olympics. We'll discuss what they did, what they will be doing, hopefully in Korea for the Olympics there, working with law enforcement and other things. Psychics that in an honest way get together and contribute their many different skills to solving the needs of a lot of different people. October 26th and November 2nd will be rebroadcast because we will be in London. Then on November 9th, Robert Monroe will be here. Oh, Robert Monroe of the Monroe Institute of Applied Sciences. And, of course, our subject will be the out-of-body experience. And we are going to have another experiment then. I'll tell you more about the experiment a little bit later. But we will involve a number of skeptics who will come here to the studio when Robert Monroe is here with boxes in which they have placed something that only they know what's in it. During the show, out-of-body travelers will leave the laboratory in Virginia, travel out-of-body to this studio, and out-of-body go inside those boxes and find out what's in them, then go back to Virginia and go back in-body and get on the telephone with us before the night is over and detail what's in those boxes to the delight of the skeptics that will be here. I'm sure that That'll turn them on. Dr. Patrick Flanagan will join us on November 16th. And, you know, with Pat Flanagan, we'll talk about many things that are out there on the very cutting edge of science. November 23rd, Diane Morrissey of the International Association for Near-Death Studies will come to Open Mind for the first time. And it's a fascinating look at what people who are alive now have seen as they have crossed over for a few moments to the other side. December 14th, Greta Woodrow returns to Open Mind. She is the author of A Slide of Light and the co-founder of STAR, S-T-A-R, that's Space Technology and Research Foundation. Greta has an ongoing contact with an alien group who have been giving her fascinating information, and she has been going around the world lecturing captains of industry, leaders of governments, about what is in store and how to prepare for that. Greta is the one who can... Well, I've seen her myself... bend spoons. In fact, she even shrinks spoons. And this was something that was taught to her by a group she says were the Ogatans. December 21st, it'll be the Christmas season, and I couldn't think of a better time to brighten up your holidays than with the delightful insight of Dr. Peoples. That's right. Thomas Jacobson will return to Open Mind on December 21st, and of course we will interact with Dr. Peoples, the amazing and wonderful Dr. Peoples. Desi Arnaz Jr. and Guy Finley, who were supposed to be here last week, I didn't think they were supposed to be here last week. So they will be here January 4th. We have rescheduled them in there, talking about success without stress and the great program that they're deeply involved with, based a lot upon the metaphysical philosophies of Vernon Howard. The out-of-body group called Search and Prove from St. Paul, Minnesota, will join us on January 11th. And then Dale Walker will be here February 1st, again with the crystals. So we have quite a lineup of things to do. And we'll be getting to you in just a moment. Brad is continuing to work to get through the breakdown of the lines right now into Northern California for Dr. Marcel Vogel. I'll be back in a moment. Okay, Dave, you're on.
Yeah, Bill, this is Dave. We've been, been talking quite a few times over the past several years.
Mm-hmm.
How do you set those crystals up in a refrigerator so that they work to help you reduce the temperature of the things inside there?
Well, all I have done, and it really works, I put a crystal in there just inside the refrigerator. Now, I have a side-by-side refrigerator.
Yeah.
So I put it on the refrigerator side, and I have to turn the refrigerator to a lower thermostat setting, because if I put it where I ordinarily would without the crystal, it'll start freezing things inside the refrigerator.
Yeah.
The veggies will get a little too crisp, and you know what happens to the old lettuce if it gets that way.
And, the milk
starts freezing, and the beer starts freezing, and that's terrible. You know, you can't have beer freezing.
Do you just set it right in there on the...
Yeah, I just stick it in the back of one of the shelves back there.
Huh?
And leave
you
it alone.
You don't set it in water or anything
no,
like that?
No, it's just stuck off back there.
Okay.
By a bottle of something, probably there by the ketchup, I don't know.
Hey, could I ask you about the fire walk that you went on?
Sure.
How do you feel about that now? Is it passé or, you know, is it still pretty impressive to you?
Well, I don't think it's passé.
I went on it, you know. So, I was wondering if...
I did it twice,
yeah.
And it felt like walking over popcorn. The coals were very, very hot. In fact, the shovel that was kind of patting them down there, you throw water on it, or squirt water on it, it turns to steam. So it was hot. I have been able to use that ability that you learn, that little anchoring process to... just change your physiology in some way or another that we don't completely understand on a couple of occasions that kept me from getting burned.
Uh-huh.
I have not deliberately walked over fire again simply because my schedule wouldn't allow it, but I certainly make every effort to every time Tony is in town. I think it's something exciting to do, and you can do, and the skeptics that say anybody can do it and there's nothing to it, that's baloney.
Well, I think you're probably aware that the Skeptic Society of Southern California has put the kibosh on it and said that anybody could do it.
Well, they can put the kibosh on anything they want to, but that doesn't mean anything because, in my opinion, they don't know what they're talking about.
Uh-huh.
I had them on about it, and I said, what about, you know, the Fijian firewalkers? Said, oh, well, they were using a little pumice stone that floats in the water around Fiji. Well, I was over there, and I looked at the rocks. They had never been there. They had never looked at the rocks, and they weren't pumice stone. They were solid, hard rocks, and they were extremely hot. So they're just having a difficulty in understanding how it happens. But the skeptics do not have the ability or the intelligence to put the kibosh on anything.
Well, I'm really glad to hear you say that, Bill. I walked on the rocks probably just about right after you did, and it was the most impressive thing that I've ever done in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hear, you know, other people saying, well, you can do it. And
you know, some people get burned doing that, so it's
yeah.
not it's something that you need to really prepare yourself for. If you went through the neuro-linguistic programming that we had there, then that's you know how it works.
Yeah, I do, and then again, I'd like to end my conversation with you that saying that don't anybody out there try
mm-hmm.
you know, walking on fire, because it's...
No, you have to know what you're doing, and
right.
Tony Robbins is the one who taught us how to do it, and he does it very, very well.
Yeah, okay, well, good night, Bill, and have many more years on the air.
Okay, thank you very much, David, I appreciate that. We do have Dr. Marcel Vogel on the line. We found him, and so we will continue on, and we'll be back with Dr. Vogel. In just a moment. Just saw a man give another man $2 million right here in the studio. Possibly. Well, he gave him a lottery ticket. And he's over there busy scratching away. All right. Dr. Marcel Vogel, welcome to Open Mind.
Hello, you rascal, you.
Oh, did we have a wrong area code? Was that our
yes,
problem?
Yes, you did. You were calling 405.
All right.
And I was projecting to you, I said, where are you, you rascal?
Well, we finally got through. I knew we would. We have a lot of things to do tonight. You were going to surprise us with something, and I understand you have one of my friends there with you.
Yes, I have. A very wonderful man, Dr. Peter Manners, is with me at this time.
Dr. Peter Guy Manners is one of the favorites on this show. Give him my very, very best, and I'm getting him on the phone. Hello there, Peter. How are you?
Very well indeed, thank you.
So what are we doing tonight, gentlemen?
Well, we're continuing where we left off, I imagine.
We're going to bend more spoons and smell roses?
But I thought I'd do some other experiments in releasing energy and doing a bit of work on telepathy. Would you like that?
I would love it.
How did you manage to goof up on my phone number?
Well, you'll have to talk to Heidi about that.
Okay. Well, we can start from there. And what I'd like to do is to let everyone know that I am going to be working with Dr. Manners on continuing the work with the Delaware machine.
Uh-huh.
And Dr. Manners had worked with George Delaware on this machine originally. And we've been having a delightful conversation on some of the early history of how they put this machine together. And I'd like to share this with the audience as a whole. Would you like to start off?
Yeah, why don't you explain to us first what the Delaware machine is about and how it got started and what it supposedly is to do?
Well, the machine is designed to capture the patterns of thought which you create with your mind, and you can precipitate it in this machine into a film plate. It has been a subject of much controversy, ridicule. I have really now the only living machine that is a complete form. It's in my laboratory at this time, and I think the best thing to do is to turn the speaker over to Dr. Manners and have him tell us how this thing got started. Would you mind?
I would love it.
Okay, you're on, my friend.
Hello.
Yeah, all right, Peter, what's the machine going
to
do now?
Well, I think the best way to explain this is that it's an instrumentation, which is an interrelation between mind and the concepts of thought and modern scientific technology. In other words, because we haven't gone into the modern concept of it, the New Age concept of it yet. But what we were able to do when we first developed the instrument was to be able to focus the mind onto a concept or an idea and produce a photograph of it.
In other words, I can think of a lottery ticket.
Pardon?
I can think of a lottery ticket.
Oh, yes.
And have 3 5-thousands on it, let's say. And we'll produce a photograph of it.
I don't think that was our idea at that time.
Well, I just conjured up the idea here.
Now, what we were trying to do was to photograph conditions which were related to medical problems. So that we could photograph, and we got a photograph which was a kind of, like an X-ray photograph, showing conditions which existed in the human body.
Now, is this, say I conjure up a picture, is it a picture of my own body then that that the machine would show?
If we had the condition relayed to it, I mean, of what the condition was, the operator would then concentrate on that condition, tune into it, and it would produce a photograph. These photographs were extremely interesting. Our only great problem was that they weren't consecutive. We couldn't always produce them. This is what Marcel Vogel is now endeavoring to do, to stabilize this condition with the advanced and modern technology, to be able to stabilize this condition and find out where we had gone wrong under those conditions, and to see if we can't get this now to function in a better way.
Well, I think that you've got a top man in the world working on it then, Peter.
Oh, most certainly we have. I think this is really going to establish it and find out exactly and precisely what took part there. You see, in those days, which is some years back now, we were working very much in the dark. We had no idea precisely what we were doing. But now, with the advance in modern technology now, we have a better idea of what is taking place and how the thing is functioning.
Are you getting it to function better?
Yes, I can operate the machine. And what I am doing now is to go much further than just looking for a image on the plate. And I'm studying the plates under the optical microscope.
and I find a series of energetic tracks that look very much like the photographs that are taken of a Wilson cloud chamber. They're oscillating tracks. There are tracks that show various types of energetic releases. What I believe the camera to be is a acousto-optic image converter that it converts sound into a preliminary or primordial form of light energy. I've put about 50 years of study into the field of what we call luminescence, and I have very carefully prepared these plates, loaded them myself, and I am seeing a host of various tracks from water that we have charged, and we're using that as a prime indicator and a bullion cube of pure silver and gold as reference electrodes to measure these energies. And in this type of study and investigation, we're getting quite repeatable results and some very, very amazing type of tracks, which I showed to Peter today. And we had quite a long, lengthy discussion on the significance and meaning of them. And one of the opinions that were brought up that we're looking at solitons, which is a chargeless mass which can be released from usually high-energy particles. So it's becoming quite involved in discussion, but out of that, we should have a rationale that could be presented to science.
Well, the solitons that are affecting that right now...
That is the end thing that people are talking on.
Where are they emanating from? Is that...
Well, they're actually being produced in space, in the space of the upper chamber of this camera. And it comes from a vibration or a sound. The bottom part of the camera is a sounding box. It creates a tonal pattern. And these patterns are projected by a magnet into the reflectors that are inside the light tight box. And then the energy is focused through a lens and a polarizing filter, and we produce then an image onto the plate. And I'm doing that now in a consistent way. So I've taken a lot of the, indefinite considerations. In fact, at the end of next week, I'm giving a one-week workshop up at Joy Lake on thought photography and bringing the camera up, and Dr. Manners and myself will be presenting this to the group as a whole.
Well, have you been able to get your thoughts or Peter's thoughts or the thoughts of someone?
Oh, yes, I've done that.
To work now?
Yes, I have. Peter and I will be working next week with the camera together. And we have not yet had a go at it because we've been just had an initial discussion today. We've just come together.
This is actually my first time of seeing the camera for many years. The camera, of course, was over in the laboratories originally where we were working. And it was like seeing an old friend, I think, when I saw the camera again today. But it's many years since we actually worked on it. I think when we use the term camera, we may be possibly a little bit misleading. It's not a camera in the normal sense of the word.
Doesn't sound like it, right?
It is a different concept altogether. There is no camera actually in it. What we are registering on the plate is the emanation actually formated in space-time by the project of thought as projected into it. So I think the word camera may be a little bit misleading. I think when we sort of get to work on this again...
Going to have to come up with some more language for it.
I think we've got to use another name.
A different nomenclature, as it were.
That's right, yes.
But it's still doing that thing, and
well,
it's projecting
it,
images right now of some
it
sort.
It does produce images, and call it what we may. It was one of the key things that intrigued George Delaware. He made many thousands of plates, and the great controversy was there was only one person that could load the plates, which was Corte, the assistant that George Delaware had. And when he loaded the plate, a charge was applied to the plate, which gave
to George Delaware the capacity then to produce images with this instrument. And I've been able to circumvent that because I charge the plates with a crystal like one that I'm holding now in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to do right now, if you want to get things rolling to a higher degree, I have now an eight-sided crystal that I've made, and I build a field with the crystal. I'm going to project it to you in the heart region of your body and to those who are listening to us at this time to give you an idea of what these fields are.
Could you hold on doing that while I take care of some fields here?
Oh, surely.
All right.
Okay.
So we want to get everybody involved in a little experiment here, then.
Uh-huh.
The charged crystal that's being held in the hands of Dr. Marcel Vogel.
All right.
And we'll be to that in just a moment, and then back to Dr. Marcel Vogel and Dr. Peter Guy Manners in a moment. Northern California, Dr. Marcel Vogel and Dr. Peter Guy Manners. And Dr. Vogel is getting ready to send us all some energy. Are we all ready?
You can either hold your hand up or just, I'm going to focus on each of your chests in what you call the thymus region of your body.
Okay, now we all to be holding our hand up.
Hold your hand up and then just breathe in. Hold your breath. Let your breath out again. I'm projecting a beam of white light. Breathe in again. And let your breath out again. Breathe in. And let your breath out and tell me if you feel anything.
Well, I feel almost like a kundalini feeling up and running up and down my back. Is that right?
Correct.
Is
here
that
it comes. Go ahead. Describe it.
In fact, it's gone up higher than I usually can get it to go.
That's right. Keep it up. Now I'm moving the crystal up and down, visualizing your spine, and just moving the energy up and down. Now, as we're listening, Mr. Peterson came up to visit the laboratory this afternoon, and he flew back down again and has wired a person with an electroencephalogram, EEG equipment. And now I'm projecting on to this person that he has wired.
Is that Dr. Rose?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And to increase the alpha activity of her brainwave activity. There I'm coming on to it. There it goes. Now we'll wait and see when he'll call back and see what happens afterwards.
Well, you certainly got my back, my spinal column.
I know. Now, later on, what we're going to do, if you want, is I'm going to do a experiment in pure telepathy with you.
Okay.
And I've created five different figures that I have on sheets of paper here. And I'm going to call these out and then have the audience, if they want, visualize them and write them on pieces of paper. And they can mail them then to the station, and I'll mail the masters to you. Would you like that?
I'd love it.
Because there you get, you have an absolutely perfect example of telepathy with no possible equivocation on it. Are you ready?
All right, I'm ready.
All right. Now, number one, all of you, take a deep breath. Close your eyes. And as you let your breath out, look for a image or a figure that comes to your mind and get a piece of paper and a pencil now and sketch it under number one. You get a image, Bill?
Actually, no.
All right.
All right. Brad got one who is screening our...